Do you remember when you were born? What a crazy day, huh? You were in this warm and cozy place, and life seemed pretty good. Everything was provided to you aside from that warmth and comfort, like food and hydration and covering and rest. And you were even rocked to sleep a lot of times while you were in the womb. Things seemed pretty safe and amazing, right? And I know I'm speaking generally here because, first off, none of us actually remember the womb, okay? I'm just being facetious, I guess. And I know some people had more difficult pregnancies, or you might have been premature or whatever. But the point I'm trying to make here is that we were safe, sound, provided for, and we're full of rest. But then it was time to go. Time to enter into the world to learn, grow, and experience from the perspective of the environment you're in. And then almost immediately, you go from a warm, comfortable place to a cold, loud kind of place. Your necessities were still provided to you, but there was like a little bit more effort and work for you to get it. And instead of a warm womb, you're now in a warmish cloth blanket. And some weird people in masks are poking you and they're prodding you and they're flipping you around. And all you want to do is rest and eat. But it's hard. Because you can't. You're being moved around. And all of this said and done, we celebrate this day every single year. Isn't that odd? Isn't that weird? Now listen, I have no qualms against birthdays. I really don't. I think it's great that we celebrate the fact that we lived another year on God's creation, but I'm sure none of us, even if we didn't really remember that birth date, would want to relive entering into an uncomfortable life. Would we? Enter in baptism. This is a form of being born again or some sort of a spiritual rebirth. And I want to discuss that today. Now, different religions practice this form of immersion into water or sprinkling water over the head of an individual to represent a cleansing or rebirth. Now, some Christian denominations immerse or sprinkle onto babies or children so that they are kept by God or possibly saved because of this ritual. In the Old Testament, there were several indications of ritualistic cleansing or baptism. In Leviticus and Numbers, there were rituals one must do by the washing of the clothes, or washing of the head, or washing of the body, and more washing with water when people ate unclean animals or entered into a holy place, or to be healed. For instance, Naaman was told by Elisha to wash himself in the River Jordan 7 times to be cleansed of his skin issues and leprosy. This is in 2 Kings 5. Noah, as we may all know, Noah boarded the ark as already being upright and righteous in God's eyes and was already following God, where the rest perished in the flood, essentially making a form of immersion by God to cleanse the earth of its evil. This is Genesis 6 and 7. Moses and the Israelites walked through the God-parted Red Sea, immersing all in the waters to create cleansing and righteousness. And this is Exodus 14. And then Jonah was covered underwater to cleanse him of his selfishness, to not go to Nineveh and preach about God to the Ninevites, and is brought back up out of the water. Jonah 1 and 2. Now, in the New Testament, there are over 20 uses of the root of the Greek word for baptism or baptizo. The word baptism or baptizo means to fully immerse something. The way I think of baptism is if you fully immerse a cup into an ocean, the cup is filled in its entirety by the water and whatever else it might pick up. It then holds the contents and can pour out those same contents. Whatever we submerge or immerse that said cup into, we will fill the cup up with. And then we'd be able to pour out whatever contents we filled it with. The same goes with us. When we fully immerse ourselves into God and His Word and Christ in the Spirit, we are filled with that. And that is what we pour out. Same goes for the fleshly, worldly mammon stuff. Now, water baptism is the beginning of your new life in Christ. But the change in your heart tends to start before the water baptism. John chapter 3 is a great engagement describing what baptism really means. Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews on the Sanhedrin, and tells him that one must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus questions it, like, how can an old man like me or somebody be born again? And then Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to explain that if you are born of the flesh, you stay in the flesh. If you're born in the Spirit, you'll be led by the Spirit. So let's break this down quickly. This is John chapter 3 once again. We often attribute the kingdom of heaven to be heaven itself, a place that we go, God's dwelling. Now, although this is true, the kingdom of heaven also represents Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here. If you aren't baptized in water and in spirit, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Now, this goes both ways here. You will not see Jesus Christ as Messiah and accept him as such, and in turn, you will not see the kingdom, the place of heaven. You can't make it to heaven without Jesus, right? And also some translations say, enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, we are to be in Christ, and we cannot enter into rest in Christ if we're not baptized into water and the Spirit. The direct word-to-word translation that is used in Greek is the word for see. So prior to this, Nicodemus is talking about Jesus as a man that God is with because of the signs and wonders he has seen. Now, Jesus explains that to really see that I am the Messiah, you need to be cleansed, repentant of the pride and self-centeredness that the other individuals of the Sanhedrin had, and then move forward in Christ. The Sanhedrin, they were blind because they weren't repentant. They were really actually never looking for the Messiah, if you think about it. They were focused more on being the quote-unquote godly men that they were. They weren't prepared. Basically, what Jesus is saying is if you don't recognize first that you need to repent, you won't recognize the Messiah standing right in front of you today. The water baptism that follows this recognition of repentance, hence why people were being baptized by John the Baptist before Jesus' ministry, is an outward demonstration of an inward transformation. I stole that from Greenhouse Community Church. Thank you, Jason and friends. But I love that description of baptism, an outward demonstration of an inward transformation, because it's so spot on. And baptism continued on even after Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a recognition that, wow, I need this living water to enter into me and flow outwardly. I'm a mess. I am. I'm human. I have this sinful nature. I need a Savior, and I want to recognize when the Savior is in front of me and wanting to do work in me. Then we get baptized into the Spirit so that we allow the Spirit to be moving, the moving force in us and through us. Then we literally, yes, literally, become born again into the family of God. When you are born the first time, you were born into the world and into the family you were born into and into the environment and whatever. But when you're born again, you're now in God's royal family. How amazing is that? You're given the Spirit then as one now branded by God into his family. The Spirit will continue to work in you because you are now fully submitted to the Lord and to his will. That was already done before you got your water baptism. You decided before your water baptism that you want to live to fulfill God's will and not your will. And because of this, the Spirit will continue to work in and through you to sanctify you throughout your newly reborn, created life. So some people think, I'll just get baptized in water at a church and I'll make it to heaven. I'll baptize my kid and they're going to make it to heaven. They're good now. That's just not true. What's the point of baptism if we're going to go walking back into the same old life of flesh that we did before? What's the difference between just taking a bath or jumping in a pool and just being, I'm dirty. I'm just going to cleanse myself of sins. Why go through the additional effort of setting up a time, talking to a pastor, and then getting dunked into this usually really cold water and being pulled back up, people clapping, video cameras all over the place, photos are being taken, videos being taken, and then you just go back to being the same old person. Baptism represents a death and burial, then a resurrection with Christ. We accept Christ's death, resurrection, a new covenant, so we die to self and get resurrected with Christ. We put our bodies of the flesh to rest and come up as bodies fueled by the Spirit. Following baptism, we go from a cold, dark, inconvenient, and uncomfortable fleshly life to a warm, cozy place of rest in our Creator with all of our needs met, as promised by God. This is a spiritual transformation and rebirth, not a ritual. I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this. He says this, "A man may cast away many vices, forsake many lusts in which he indulge, and conquer evil habits, but no man in the world can make himself to be born of God. Though he should struggle never so much, he can never accomplish what is beyond his power. And mark you, if he can make himself to be born again, still he would not enter heaven, because there is another point in the condition which he would have violated. Unless a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In Ezekiel 36, 25-28, speaking of the coming Messiah, this is what all the prophets pretty much did, it says this, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now Ezekiel says sprinkle, we can immerse, whatever. We shouldn't get caught up with the formalities of a baptism. Stacy and I chose to be fully submerged, or immersed, to get the full experience of being put under the earth, put to death, put to rest, and then go back to the womb where you're covered in water. When you're in the womb, you're surrounded by a sack of water, to be real here, scientific, and then you get reborn and taken back out into the world, but of the Spirit, in the family of God. Water baptism represents the rebirth. Being led by the Spirit is being the new creation. As Ezekiel says, we dwell in the land given to your fathers means eternal life. We're dwelling in God eternally. God promised holy land, but mostly eternal holy land. If you were to ask us or ask me, should I get baptized then, Dan? I would say, why not? The question you have to ask yourself, though, is why do you want to be baptized? Why do you want to be baptized? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish here? But why not fully immerse ourselves and submerge ourselves into God? Go all in. Don't hang on by a thread or just read a verse or two a day. No. Fully immerse yourself in Christ. If you're a non-believer, recognize you need a Savior and that Jesus is the Savior. Then go all in with Christ. From your life, that at that point going forward, say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be in Christ going forward, and then go and get baptized. Put that non-believer, that old self, to rest and start living in Christ. If you're a Christ follower now, or maybe you're lukewarm, or maybe you're new to following Christ, choose to live only in Spirit with the kingdom of heaven in mind. Set your eyes on heaven and to be used by the Spirit as a vessel to glorify God and bring others to Christ. I have some verses to meditate on. Now, throughout the whole New Testament, people are getting dunked like crazy. They're getting baptized all over the place to be born again and to be baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we hear in Matthew 28, 19. We discussed last week what the Great Commission was and still is, and that baptism still does play a role in this. And it did in the first church in Acts. Now, I usually read these verses to you, but it's important that you go and read the Bible directly yourself. Revisit these verses when you can, and then read them thoroughly, and then read the context, read commentaries, read different translations. Let's just fully immerse ourselves in our God today. So your verses here that are also listed in the description, so go back to them later, or you can go to them now. You can pause after each one and read through. Here they are. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, and then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. And folks, if you have questions, I may not have all the answers, but we can pray about it. We could chat about it, and we could discover things together. We can read together. That's what the Bible's meant to be for. Where we can be community together, we can read and study together, and we can get to know God's heart. But always feel welcome to reach out to us on our website or social media. We always love to hear from you. So I have one question for you today. How can you be immersed, submerged in God today? Thank you all for listening. There have been some prayer requests that have been coming in, some in different languages that I had to translate. So I'm sorry if my responses were not so crisp and so clear. But we also put these prayer requests, if you select on our prayer request form that you want to share with the community, we do send them in emails that out to our subscribers that want to pray. We send those out whenever we get prayer requests in. And also, if you want to send in prayer requests, we will talk to you. We'll pray with you. We will chat with you. We'll send emails back and forth, whatever is easiest for you. But we want to know that we are praying for you, that we are in your corner with God. We are all together in this together as one family under Christ, in Christ, in the body of Christ. So thank you so much. I want to pray over everybody right now. If you could take your prayer posture, if it's safe to do so, and let's talk to our Creator. Our Father who's in heaven, thank you so much for the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to put our old selves to death, to rest, not literally, but in the form of water baptism, so we can cleanse ourselves of all those sins and have this new rebirth in Christ and in your Spirit. We thank you for being the God that you are, that came to the earth, that came in the flesh, incarnate, so that we can see what death and resurrection look like, because we now have resurrection in Christ. And we thank you so much for that. We ask that you continuously give us the ability to seek you. You know you give us all the tools. We know you give us all the tools where we can read your word. We can have community together. We have churches that we can go to and just be body of Christ family members. And we appreciate that. We ask that you continuously give us our daily bread, the things that we need to hear today, the things that we need to submerge and immerse ourselves in today so that we can get closer to you. We ask that you keep us away from those things that pull us apart from you, all the things that are just of our old selves that keep trying to wake up from the dead and pull us back into the coffin. We don't want that. We just want you. And we pray for this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.